This is KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. There is no doubting the Spanish influence on California. The indelible imprint of Junipero Serra and his Spanish missionaries are everywhere. There are 9 Spanish missions, from San Buenaventura in Ventura, of course, to Carmel Mission in Carmel, of course. Many of the towns and cities have Spanish names, even if they don't have a mission. And much of our flora is native to Spain, yet our wine industry is dominated by French grape varietals. But that is changing here on the Central Coast. I undertook a weighty responsibility to discover the Spanish grape varietals that are taking the Central Coast by storm as I sat down with 2 local vintners.
Hi, I'm Luisa Sawyer Lindquist. I make the Verdad wines in Santa Maria, and we have a tasting room in Arroyo Grande.
Hi, I'm Enrique Torres from Diablo Paso Wines. I'm the owner and winemaker, tester in downtown Paso.
I have very little experience with Spanish wines. I'm going to just start with Spanish wines. I lived in the United Kingdom for a number of years, and the highest volume consumed wine seemed to me to be Spanish wines. Mostly what they called Rioja, which really annoyed me. Called Rioja, and they would drink it in vast quantities, and I didn't particularly like it. But then I came back here, and people are starting to use these Spanish varietals. So tell me how this started and what you're doing and what kind of grapes they are, because I don't know anything.
The Spanish varieties have actually been here for many years. Now people are more aware of, for example, Aguarino and Tempranillo. They never focus on, like, let's make a big lot of Tempranillo, for example. They always do a little bit for, like, wine group members and stuff like that. But they've always been there. I mean, I've been in the industry, this is my 18th harvest. The reason I started making Spanish varieties because that was the only ones that I can actually pronounce properly. Because Spanish is my first language. They grow amazingly well on the Central Coast. We have similarities of weather with Spain. You know, very dry and also cold nighttime. Aguarino is one of the varieties that I say for whites has so much going on around here because the weather, like I say, and it grows amazingly well closest to the coast and also up here, like in Paso area and regions, there are people growing it in the east side of Paso.
I worked with, originally planted some in Santa Ynez Valley, which is a little closer, maybe in climate to here, and then planted a little bit in Edna Valley and the coastal area. I felt, for my taste, it made a more interesting wine with better acidity. But it is, you know, it's a matter of taste. That's what's so much fun about the business. My first vintage was in 2000, and so this was my 19th vintage. Actually, in 2000, I produced an Albarino, which was the first commercial Albarino in the country, and Havens Winery also produced one in 2000, so we were kind of neck and neck the first ones to do it. And then I started making Tempranillo from the 2001 vintage.
What are the varietals that we're really talking about?
Albarino, Grenache, Garnacha, Tempranillo, I make a little bit of Graciano, very esoteric, and there's so many more.
The Mataro, for example, which is actually Mobet. I made one for the first time last year. Yes, Graciano is one of the varieties that I think has so much future in the Central Coast because it grows low but also small clusters and it's just full of flavor. And Spanish, they've been using it for blends, which I try by myself. It's so unique. It has dryness, it has fruit forward, leathery, it has the characteristics of Tenaa, but it's not as heavy as Tenaa in my opinion.
To me, reminds me a little bit of Cabernet Franc or maybe a Barbera d'Alba, that real pretty bright fruit, which I could see why it would be blended with Tempranillo's kind of more brooding, deeper, spicy element. It's a fun wine. It's just starting to catch on in the kind of hip, cool markets. I've been making it since 2011. You know, I only make a little bit, 100 cases. But all of a sudden, it seems to be in high-ish demand.
Well, one of the things I find out with Graciano, there's not much planted in California. In Paso, few vineyards there, I know they grow. Between the ones that I know, I think there's less than 10 acres around here. I heard Lodi, there's actually a good amount of Graciano that has been there for a long time, actually.
There's a lot of different styles of Tempranillo depending on where it's grown. The clone has something to do with the flavor profile. Also the aging, whether you're putting it in barrel, new wood, how long. Worked with two different clones of Tempranillo, one from Rioja, of kind of unknown origin other than Rioja, and very tannic. Ages really well, but it takes a really long time to come around. Great structure. And then this one from Ribera del Duero, what I call the Pescara clone, because it was taken from cuttings directly from Bodegas Pescara in Ribera del Duero, planted in Napa. I got the cuttings from them, and that has much fuller, rounder, juicier mid palate. Still has a nice tannin structure, but it's not as linear. And so that is one style. I tend to age it for about a year and a half, sometimes 2 years in barrel, because the tannins, I think, need a while to resolve with the fruit and to make it more well-rounded and drinkable. Although there's some lovely Spanish Tempranillos that are bottled much younger.
Albariño is, again, you know, it depends on the winemaker and the region. I had a chance to make Albariño from Paragominio in the Etna Valley, which is the Kini clone. And I had the chance to make from up here from Paso. I treat them totally different because cold climate, you know, the Etna Valley comes later and it's more flavors, you know, so I ferment actually half in a stainless and half in French and Acacia wood barrels. So I get totally different profiles from the same vineyard in a stainless and French and Acacia wood barrels. And I always like to play around and complicate things. So I call my Albariño Guanabana because it reminds me of soursop fruit. I don't know if you guys ever had that fruit. It's a tropical fruit that is very creamy, so that Albariño has the style.
What was the fruit again?
Guanabana it's called, but it's, in English it's called soursop. It's a fruit that I grew up eating and climbing those trees like hundreds of times a day when I was a kid. So I named my wine Guanabana Albariño because it reminds me when it's fermenting the same profiles of the aromatics of that fruit.
You know, I've always wanted to make the white wine, what is it, the Verdejo, which makes the, I think, just a really pretty wine. There's a little bit grown in California. I tried buying it 1 year, probably about 12 years ago, and the grower confused Verdejo with Verdello, which, and it was, I knew it wasn't the same, but anyways, so that
sounds
just
cool.
Didn't work out too well, but it's a lovely grape. There's so many Spanish varietals now that they're coming kind of to the forefront. The wines from Bierzo. Do you know what the grape variety is with that?
Which one?
Bierzo wines. The most common mainstream ones are Garnacha, Tempranillo, Albariño, Verdejo.
Are you talking about Mencia?
Mencia, that's it, yes. So there's some other interesting grape varieties, but it's like this winemaker disease. Once you start making wines, you can't say no when new grapes come along, and sometimes you have to make yourself say no.
Guanabana is also known as soursop. It is the fruit of Annona muricata, a broadleaf flowering evergreen tree. It is native to the tropical regions of the Americas and the Caribbean. It is similar to a cherimoya, if you've ever seen one of those. Now that the nerdy stuff is over, let's move on to the interesting stuff. Getting started with new varietals, the winemaking process, and tasting. Luisa and Enrique are definitely playing with food, which becomes more and more evident as our time together moved on.
Always a happy sound. That's the Verdad Albariño. It's the 2016 vintage. I fermented it about half in stainless steel and half in neutral barrels. Usually blend the two and bottle it fairly early, after 9 months or so. It doesn't impart a new wood flavor, but it does impart kind of a round textural component to it. And then the stainless steel keeps it kind of fresh and lively.
Can I pour it?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Okay, so what am I supposed to be smelling?
I do get some minerality that comes through on this, and then kind of classic white peach, maybe a touch of apricot. There's some floral aromatics, like lime blossom. Classic kind of slightly bitter almond citrusy finish to it.
Very nice.
Thank you.
It is very nice.
It's 2017 vintage from Paragon Vineyard, which Paragon, I believe, is the one that has the most Albariño in the United States planted right now. I believe it's 55 acres. And I ferment half in neutral couple-year-old barrels that have French body with acacia heads. And one of the barrels was a brand new barrel, just to give that little touch of wood. and the other half was in Poland, stainless steel. And I do let it just finish fermenting as soon as I can. I filter and bottle. I want to keep the freshness and crispness.
It is very crisp. I was going to say, that one is a little creamy. Yours is a little creamy, and this one's very crisp. I like both of them. So if I would have seen this in a store, I wouldn't have bought it because of the shape of the bottle. I would have said, oh, that's a sweet wine. That's a Gewurztraminer bottle. I mean, this is dry as a bone.
It's lovely.
It runs easy on the bottle line, and I just love the way it shows in the shelves. And I have tons of people who's like, why do you put in a Gewurztraminer bottle, reasonable bottle? I'm like, there's no rules in California that you have to pour a wine in a specific bottle. So why not this one? And it fits really good in the wine cooler. So,
I've seen Albarino from Spain bottled in that bottle, in both, actually.
We've just talked about three varietals, and so are these single varietals that you're using here, are they single varietals in Spain typically, or they typically have some sort of blending?
Well, it depends on the region. In Rioja, it can be all Tempranillo, it can be a little Graciano, a little Garnacha blended in, and there's one other grape, is it Manzuela? But there is actually Rioja that is 100% Graciano, though very rare. So it's kind of what you have in the vineyard, what you have available to you. And here in the US, we are allowed these things. So you can be a lot more creative without having strict rules, which is really great.
France is known for their strict rules.
Very much.
And from what the limited knowledge that I have, is one of the reasons that France is losing market share in the world is that they are sticking to their strict rules, whereas the rest of the world is kind of experimenting and having fun and trying new things and exciting palates. How does that compare to the rules in Spain?
Well, I know within the viticultural regions that are recognized, like Rioja and Ribera del Duero, they do have strict rules as far as aging goes, what grapes you're allowed to use. Similar to France, depending on what level, you have Crianza and Reserva and Gran Reserva in Rioja. I'm fond of a winery outside Ribera del Duero, and they like being out of that AVA because they put a little bit of Syrah in with their Tempranillo. Yes, I think there is a lot of similarities in their famous areas. And I'm sure in the newer growing areas, they don't have those rules. Just like in France and areas like the Ardèche, they make all kinds of things, but the wines don't have the same cachet as a Bordeaux or a Burgundy. And they're kind of less expensive as well.
You guys want to try the Graciano?
Sure.
Okay, we've got Verdad on the left and Diablo Pass on the right.
Oh, you make a Graciano. Excellent.
My Graciano has 5% Tempranillo.
Oh, mine has 10.
Okay. This one is from the vineyard in Templeton, which we call Templeton Gap. And the Graciano is, and the Tempranillo is from Slay Ranch here in Paso, which is in Adelaide District. I never made Graciano before. This is the first vintage that I've done for Diablo Paso. And I'm very, very passionate about Graciano. I think it's something that has so much potential. Like, because a lot of people don't know what it is. They're like, what is it? Is it Garnacha? I know it's actually a grape that has been primarily used for blends in Rioja.
And so mine, I pick it relatively low sugar to keep it fresh. I blend it with 10% Tempranillo. I age it in 2 and 3 year old puncheons, Hungarian puncheons. So they have a hint of a back note of oak without being super oaky. So I tend to have this kind of be a fruit forward wine. It's a wine that in the hot weather, I like to even put a little chill on it, fire up the Barbie.
It's delicious.
Thank you.
We also tasted a Tempranillo from each of the wineries while I expanded on my dislike for Spanish wines, explaining that it was the minerality, the moldy dirt characteristic that I didn't like. Luisa guided me through that flavor quality, explaining that it is partly terroir, partly the winemaking process, probably the use of concrete eggs for the aging, that is a whole episode on its own, and other factors. She assured me that had I paid a little more for my Spanish wines, I might not have such a bad taste in my mouth about them. Then Enrique pulled out a little surprise.
This is a 2018 Albarino. It's very unique. It's only 7% alcohol. Sweet Albarinos are late harvest. In this case, we pick early because I want the bright acidity in it. And I started fermentation to keep some of the natural sugar in there. And it has a tiny bit of carbonation. This was grapes a month and a half ago or less. That's how you keep the natural effervescence in there. As soon as it's finished ferment, filter it, and bottle it. I don't think you will find this wine anywhere else around here, in California especially.
Something unique.
So refreshing, yeah. Too. Very it's refreshing. Nice, not too sweet, but nice acidity.
Yeah, 7% alcohol.
Oh,
yeah.
It's nice. It is really nice.
Yeah. This would be lovely with a nice fruit.
Yeah, we like pair it with a spicy Thai food, different varieties of blue cheese. And
oh,
stuff.
That would be beautiful.
Blue cheese, yeah. I would make a stone fruit salad and pour this all over it.
Yum.
You know,
maybe
right
put a little fresh goat cheese or manchego or feta.
It's something.
Time for dinner.
Something different, like with these varieties, you play around like this one, you know, like I want to do something different, and we do pretty good with this one.
Enrique said, you play around with these grapes. Spanish varietals on the Central Coast is definitely a worthy topic for a show called Playing with Food. There is one last topic I couldn't pass up.
Your winery is called Verdad, which means
truth.
Why Verdad? And you have to tell the truth.
Oh. Well, naming your wine is like naming a child. It's finding the perfect name. So I did some research in Spain. I spent about 6 weeks there in 2000, and I went to different regions. And I had a friend who was living in Barcelona, and I'm like, I don't know. I have this wine project coming up. I need to make a label, and I don't know what to do. And we're walking on the street. He goes, well, just listen. And everybody is Verdad, is la Verdad, Verdad. So you heard it in almost every sentence every day, and it just was like, that is beautiful, that just feels right. And it was an aha moment, and it was in Barcelona.
Sitting in front of a priest, your winery is called Diablo Paso, which means the way of the devil. So why did you name your winery that?
Well, Diablo was my nickname when I was a kid.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was a troublemaker. My family raised me very religious, Catholics. So my mother and my grandma's dreams was Enrique will be the priest of the family. That was me. When I found out, I'm like, no, I just don't want to be a priest. I have other plans. I was only 7 years old. So I had to prove my family, especially my grandmother and my mother, that I love them so much, that I was not going to be a priest. People in my little town started calling me Diablo, Diablillo. That was my nickname for a few years until my mother stopped that. So I'm doing Spanish varieties, growing Paso. So I name it Diablo Paso because Paso always Paso. And it's just a strong name for Spanish. So I'm like, why not use that? And you know, we're not evil. We put the cross on the top of the logo. So just to make sure people don't think it's like, wait a minute, this guy's crazy. But also to please my mother and my grandma. So and the first thing my mother said when she saw the logo is like, you have to bring that back. But I love that you put the cross on top. That shows that you still believe. I'm like, Mom, I believe I'm not an evil guy. So that's why we name it Diablo Paso.
It's those kinds of stories that keeps me doing radio. If Verdad and Diablo Paso are indicative of the Spanish varietals being produced on the Central Coast, I recommend that you search out the wineries near you who are producing them. We will never run short of Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet, or Chardonnay, so embark on the mission trail, the El Camino Real, in a different way, from Spanish varietal to Spanish varietal. Luisa predicts a great future.
I think we're really on the precipice of Tempranillo and Spanish varietals being recognized more in California. The Spanish varietal wine seems to be wines that the younger generation gravitates to. It's kind of not the varietals that your parents were drinking. They like the profile of Tempranillo and the spiciness and the very different styles that the grape can produce in wine. Albarino has been embraced as well. So I think there's a real enthusiasm for the varietals that I'm seeing after making them for, you know, going on 19 vintages. It's really embraced and it's only going to get better. And the grapes are great. I mean, they're world class.
This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.